Let's sing that chorus again. How about that? Y'all like that? That's the kind of music I grew up with right there.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing.
Come on, are you happy about that?
And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Praise God. Come on and give him praise.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My, aren't you glad today to be in the house of the Lord? Praise God. Amen. Brother Justin, if you would, could you give me just a little bit more monitor this morning? Praise God. I give honor to all that have gathered here at Praise Temple. Amen. We are so blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I wanted to thank you again for those prayers. I need to come down in the house a little bit. We'll get me adjusted right in a minute. It's just I'm echoing up here. I wanted to thank this church for all of your prayers. It got mighty scary the other evening, but God moved on the scene. And if he hadn't have moved on the scene, amen, the outcome would have been a lot different. How many have had God do that in your life? How many of us could say, but God? The situation would have been terrible, but God. The outcome would have been absolutely horrendous, but God moved in the middle of that situation. And I thank this church. Amen. Not only this church, but all of those that prayed so fervently, not only for Brother Johnny, but also for the doctor. I requested prayer for the surgeon. You know, these wonderful people in Madisonville Hospital, and we don't say enough about them. But Dr. Stanfield got up that morning and performed a surgery beginning at 6:30 a.m. And from 6:30 then until, I don't know, 11 or 12, he went in one surgery, and then they prepped Brother Johnny, and then they came out of that surgery, had a short break. And then in the middle of that, as they were prepping Brother Johnny, they lost him. And they had to call Dr. Stanfield back into the room. And there they worked fervently, and God moved. We know that it was the hand of God that that worked. But also, I do give honor to these doctors that worked so hard. Amen. And then we finished up at almost 11 o'clock p.m. And the surgeon, Dr. Stanfield, Brother Danny, was on his feet from 6:30 a.m. to almost 11 o'clock that night. And I'm telling you, I'm appreciative of those that are dedicated, amen, to healing, to saving. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. My. And it feels so good today to be in church. I walked in the house this morning, and when I miss a Wednesday night, I'm out of sync. And we have been going through our month of May, and hopefully we're going to have our leadership meeting to work some things out. But May is always a strenuous month because we have Mother's Day and Memorial Day and First Sunday and all of those kind of days. And I don't know about you, but I I'm ready to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm ready for revival. Come on. Y'all ready for revival? Praise the Lord. So I'm pent up this morning. So if I let loose, Y'all will forgive me, won't you? Amen. If I missed a couple services, could I make up for them today? Would that be all right? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Some of them are wincing, right? Some are saying amen, and some are wincing, saying, oh, me. Praise God. You know, we're having the privilege of celebrating two events this Sunday, and one being Memorial Day. And I don't remember when that Memorial Day has fallen on Pentecost Sunday. And that's a different situation altogether, because we usually highlight the event of a month on that day, which is totally appropriate. But I thought, Memorial Day, Pentecost Sunday. Memorial Day, Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. So, and then I got to reading in Acts, the second chapter. Did you know that Peter, preaching in the book of Acts, preached about memorials? He used a memorial to deliver the message of the day of Pentecost. He said, David, whose sepulcher is with us today, that was a memorial. He had proclaimed these things. So I want us today to know that there are things that speak to us as a memorial, but there's not one memorial so loud as an empty tomb. In a world that is celebrating the tombs filled with men that have given their life, and I give all of them honor today. Everyone are deserving of honor. Oh, I thank God that I know a Savior whose name is Jesus, that lived, died, and rose again. And if He hadn't risen again, I would be dead in my sins. The greatest memorial that we have is not just an old rugged cross, but it's an empty tomb. Because if He was not risen from the dead, we would be dead in our sins. That's what the Bible says. So I want to tell you today that the resurrection is mighty important. Amen. But I'm thankful today to be in the house of the Lord on Pentecost Sunday. I give honor today to all of our guests that have gathered here today. We give each and every one of you honor. So glad, amen, that you're with us in this service today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the Word. We're going to go to Acts. Of course so. The second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. Acts 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. And as you're preparing that, let me say today that we live in a world that preaching is at our fingertips. We can log on, we can click in, we can go to our home studies, we can get our CDs out. And I thank God for the abundance of the Word. But I want to tell us today that we can, in our carnality, begin to judge preaching. You know what I'm saying? We develop our better preachers. You know, this one here strikes home or strikes a chord more than anything else. And this one here does this. And this one does this. I'm going to ask you today not to judge the preacher, but judge yourself by the Word of God. Let the Word work on you. Amen. If there's any faltering in this place, I'm going to tell you, it's all me. I don't even mind telling you, it's all me. But thank God for the divinity of Jesus Christ that is able to get past this old terrible mess of flesh right here and minister to the hearts of men. So I want to tell you, if you want to compare me with other men, I'll come up way shy. If you compare me to Christ, I'm nothing. But if you'll allow the Word to work in you, I promise you it'll change your life. Praise God. Praise God. Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many know that the Holy Ghost is real and that the Holy Ghost is still available? And we still receive the Holy Ghost in the same way that it was poured out. That hadn't changed one bit. Amen. In the second verse, it just simply says this: and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I'm going to preach to us just for a little while today. Suddenly. Just one word. Suddenly. Suddenly. Praise God. Could we ask the Lord to bless this word again today? God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, God, for that precious word. Oh, God, that strikes the chords of the heart. That word that ministers to the mind, that feeds the soul. That word, God, that lifts us up, God. That word, Lord, that cuts us down. That word, Lord, that slices away carnality in our life, Lord. I pray today, God, let my heart to be hungry for the word of God, to apply it, Lord, in this old body, Lord, that I could understand that those things that applied to the disciples and the apostles, to those, Lord, that received the Holy Ghost in those days, God, let me to understand that the promise is unto us, to our children, to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lord, let those words reverberate through our minds and our soul today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Praise the Lord. Commentary tells us that even before the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem, almost 600 years before the day of Pentecost, Joel penned these words under the anointing and the direction of the Holy Ghost. How many know that the prophets of old were inspired by the Holy Ghost? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit, I love that, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And some would say that is the premier verse. Peter even used the application here contained in Joel, the second chapter. But I want you to know that's not the only prophetic chapter referring to the Holy Ghost being given. And let me tell you how profound and real it is and how available it is to us. How many know that the promises of the Word of God are yea and amen? Amen. Amen. In Him are yea and amen. In other words, amen, if He's promised it, then it's mine. Amen. It's mine. The prophet Isaiah declared prophetically, he said, for I will pour out water on him that is thirsty. We began service this morning. I don't know about you, but I began to lift my hands this morning, and I felt so thirsty, Brother Moore. Amen. And I began to magnify him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move in this place. And then I began to look at the people that are gathered today in the house of God, and tears were streaming down faces, and hands were uplifted before the Lord, and the presence of God was moving in such a mighty way. Do you know what was happening? He was pouring out His Spirit upon those that were thirsty. He said, if you hunger and thirst after me, He said, I'm going to fill you. Amen. So God is here today to move in the lives of men that hunger and thirst after Jesus. He said, I will pour out water on him that is thirsty and floods in the dry ground, and I will pour out of my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon my offspring. He said, I'm going to give them something, amen, that's going to bless them and change their lives. In Zechariah 12 and 10, the Bible said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and of supplication. I want everyone to know there's more than Joel, the second chapter. There's the promise of the Word of God,
amen, from the beginning that his spirit was going to be poured out upon humanity that was hungry and thirsty for him. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist prophesied, saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I don't know about you today, but I just don't want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. I want this thing alive. I want it raging on the inside of me, causing me, amen, causing the ungodliness of my life to be burned up and causing the things of my life that don't need to be there. I want that Holy Ghost and fire to move upon me and provoke me. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and fire. My. I believe today that's what we need more of, the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. In John 20:22, Scripture tells us Jesus breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost, prophetically speaking of the Spirit of God soon to be poured out. In Acts 1:4, the Bible said, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. He built within them an expectation of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you today, you receive nothing that you have no expectation for. Amen. If you want something from God, you better expect to receive something from God. Amen. You better come to the house of God with an expectation. I want this. I'm desiring this. I'm looking for this in my life. Oh, let me tell us today, we need to live with an expectation of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Have you ever prayed for someone and your old flesh says, there ain't no need to pray for them? Yeah, nothing is going to happen. You prayed 1,000 times. Let me tell you something. God has birthed in us an expectation of his divine work in us. And today, if we'll live, if we'll work, if we'll pray, if we'll worship with an expectation of God moving, let me tell you what will happen. He'll move. Oh, how many believe it today? Let me tell you what I believe today. Amen. I never lay my hands upon anybody. Amen. That I don't have an expectation of God moving in their life. God will move. I believe this little child, amen, whose feet are turned in this morning. I want you to know that I believe. That by the time that child gets out of Sunday school, if they went, amen, that God can heal the child and make them operate perfect. How many believe that? Come on. I believe that. Did you walk in here with an expectation or not? I didn't just come into the house of the Lord today because it's convenient. But I came with an expectation of God moving and ministering and blessing and healing. When I speak of healing, I'm not just speaking of healing in the body. I'm not denying that, but also a healing of the soul. God is able to do it all. Amen. Again, in John 20:22, I want to read this again. Scripture tells us Jesus breathed on them. I love that. Can you imagine what those disciples thought when Jesus looked at them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. I got a feeling they didn't know what in the world he was talking about. Amen. What is that? Receive you the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I'm going to tell us today, church, I'm going to submit that the God that we serve is not a random God. God had a plan for you and I. Amen. This didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost. This thing was a divine plan of God that was so laid out through the annals of time and scripture. We can find that this thing was spoken of, amen, from the very beginning. God had a plan. What appeared suddenly to the disciples in 33 AD was thousands of years in the making. My, we look at it in our finite minds, and suddenly they're appearing out of nowhere. Well, let me tell you something. According to the Word of God, that's what was going to happen. Let me give us some history of that day. On that very same day, centuries prior, Moses presented the law, and a new dispensation of law commenced on that day.
Right.
On that day. I began to do some research, and I found out, amen, that it is very close to the exact day of this year. You know how Pentecost Sunday kind of bounces around, you know, because it's how many days after? 50 days past the day of Pentecost. And it, you know, we always want it, Americans, we want everything on the same day. You know, that way we can schedule our vacation. You know what I'm saying? But I found out that almost on that exact day, on the day which is today, in May, it was a different month to them because it's called differently. But to us, if you were doing a comparison of years and months, you will find that the law thousands of years ago marched down the hill and was presented to the people on this day. How about that? And that also on this day was the day of Pentecost. How strange in 2023. Listen to this. On that day in Exodus, when the law was marched down the hill there, the fire of judgment fell, and 3,000 were judged for idolatry. And now in Acts, the second chapter, the Bible tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly, just the way the fire fell, amen, as a fire of judgment on that day, thousands of years before, now we find that the fire has fallen on the day of Pentecost. And there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Amen. I believe today that when the fire fell on that day in Exodus, I believe that it was preceded by a violent rush of wind. That's what Philip Cook believes. Amen. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And verse 41 declares is how strange. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added to them about 3,000 souls. So on the day of judgment, when the law was marched down the hill, 3,000 lives were lost, and on the day of Pentecost, thousands of years later, the fire of Pentecost, and God said, I want my 3,000 back. And that day, 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. God is not a random God. My God, let me tell you something. You didn't just happen into the house of God today. You didn't just wander by. Today, it's not an accident that God has condoned, God has permitted, God has orchestrated your attendance into this place today. God is not a random God. Amen. He has a plan. God always has a plan. Amen. He's always up to more than we see him being up to. Amen. My brother wrote a song. Amen. Something up God's sleeve. Amen. God always is up to something. God has a plan. Amen. God saw the frailty of humanity and the inadequacy of the law. From the moment that the law of Moses commenced, God in his infinite wisdom saw that same law nailed to the cross. I've never really considered this, and ought to have, but he saw when Moses given the law, and the law was walked down the hill, and all of this became more law and more law and more law. Amen. We know that law was nailed to the cross. Amen. And we know that on the day God is infinite, amen, he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can just as easily step into yesteryear as he can into tomorrow. So God sees all things and knows all things. Amen. God surely knew that the law was not going to be good enough. Some would say, but it's orchestrated by God. Amen. But it has the problem of humanity. Amen. That's where the failure is with humanity. Amen. Matter of fact, if you get into the book of Romans, you're going to find this, that the law, what it does is it makes known to us our sin. Amen. And through that, amen, there's condemnation in the law. Amen. Why? Because I can't live above the law. I can't live out of the confines of the law. Amen. In my flesh. And I know today that when I examine the law, amen, I fail the law. Let me submit something to us today. I wonder how many laws are on the books in Washington, D.C., the city you just went to. And them guys are making laws every day. Like it's going to make a difference. How many more laws are you going to make? And I wonder unknowingly how many laws you and I break every day. Have you ever considered that? Well, that guy's a lawbreaker. Well, I got news for you. We're all lawbreakers. As a matter of fact, I'll submit that some of you will break the law before you hit Main Street. I better quit picking. I'll probably be one of them. But God knew that the law would be inadequate in its application, even though it was needed and necessary to bring a nation, a birth, a nation out. It was absolutely necessary. Amen. But before anything happened, God saw that the law had to be nailed to a cross. And from the time that the law was brought, amen, just as surely as that law was fulfilled by the Lamb of God slain on Mount Calvary, amen, a new dispensation began in the upper room, amen, on the day of Pentecost. He saw all of these things transpiring. Every one of them. Amen. What God has prepared very slowly, appeared very suddenly. So in the preparation of it all, amen, all of a sudden, the only way that Luke could describe it was sudden. All I know is it was sudden. All of a sudden, it happened. But I'm going to submit again that which happened suddenly was composed gradually over a period of years, thousands of years. God was putting it all together. Amen. But I'm going to tell somebody in this place today, and this is why God sent me to this pulpit today, is to tell somebody that God does not need a multitude of years to fix your situation. You know, God works in healing in such a phenomenal way. And healing is what it is. I remember Brother Chris. I've testified of this before, but Brother Chris, we had to take him to Lebanon Children's Hospital. My mother remembers. Very serious condition in his life. Amen. And they were doing tests, trying to figure everything out, didn't know what in the world was going on. And they on Friday evening, they were going to put him in the hospital, keep him over the weekend. Lebanon is one of the better children's hospitals in the country. And they were going to keep him over the weekend. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And they said, well, we won't be able to run any tests till Monday. We're going to keep him for observation. And I said, okay. I said, well, we're just going to take him home then because I can observe him. All you're going to do is observe him. I can observe him. So we took him home. Amen. And we began to pray for him. And we began to do what Pentecostal folks do. Believe on the word. Believe on the Lord. Trust God. Amen. And then I remember Brother Chris, just a little bitty guy, 7 or 8 years old. Amen. He began to say things like, I'm healed, ain't I, Daddy? I'm healed, ain't I, Mama? God is working something, ain't he, Daddy? And I remember I would say, yes. Yes, God is absolutely, absolutely, yes. Yes, he is. Amen. Though it doesn't look like it, though you can't see it, amen, God is moving. And I remember we took him into Lebanon Children's Hospital on Monday. And on Tuesday, amen, the doctor met us there. And the doctor said, I just have one question. And we said, yes. He said, where did you get the antibiotics to treat his system? We said, what do you mean? He said, his system is so full of antibiotics. He said, he is being healed. He said, it's miraculous. That's healing. Let me tell you something. God can move in the middle of your situation in the process of healing. He can bring about those things that, oh my God, today I want to preach to you about a Savior that is able not only to fill you with the Holy Ghost, but heal your broken body. He can change your life.
But that's healing.
But let me tell you, this same God, Brother Kevin, is the miraculous. He's the miracle-working God. And those things that sometimes it takes him millennia, amen, to work out just for his idea, because God is a sovereign God and God works in his own way. Amen. There are times that God has worked, amen, to us. It's instantaneous. Amen. But today I want to tell you this, that I don't believe that it's quite as instantaneous as we believe it's just instantaneous for us. Because I know the fact that God knew who I was going to be before I was. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Before I had any substance, the Bible says, God knew who I was. And he knew, amen, that years later I was going to have a problem with something. And I believe, amen, that through the blood of Jesus Christ and the stripes that were received on Mount Calvary, God put in process something that would need to be applied to my life. And then when I needed it, it would be there. In other words, God knew.
But to me, it was... I can't describe it. It was just suddenly. Just like the day of Pentecost. Amen. Suddenly, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Hallelujah. What God had prepared very slowly appeared very suddenly. God does not need a multitude of years to fix your situation in your lifetime. God is able today to change you, to fix you, to heal you, to bless you, to save you right here, right now, today. In other words, God has been working on the answer to your problem before you had a problem.
I want you to consider that for a moment. Before you had a problem, God said, I'm going to work on that problem. And when the time comes and he calls upon me, the answer to that problem is going to be fixed, and I'm going to work in the middle. And to him, it might seem suddenly. But because of who God is, he saw the need that I was going to have. Yes. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preached Jesus to the Gentile house of Cornelius. Amen. I love how the day of Pentecost was. Amen. But I love how it was also after that. And if we go to the day of Pentecost, we understand, amen, that they went to a prayer meeting and a church service broke out. How about that? Amen. They went to a prayer meeting and a church service broke out. But during the time at the vision at the house of Cornelius, they went to a church service and a prayer meeting broke out. These things amaze me. I love them. Maybe it's just me. Scripture said that Peter said this. He said, just as surely, he said, we can understand God. He said, we know that he is not a respecter of persons. I want to tell you today that I want to take this moment and I want to tell you that it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what condition that you're in. It doesn't matter what trouble you're going through. I want you to hear me today. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black or red or yellow. Amen. That doesn't matter. Amen. Your monetary situation doesn't matter. And I'm going to even say this. Your political persuasion doesn't even matter. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? Amen. Your nationality doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. And as much as he loved the Jews, let me tell you this, he loves you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That world, amen, is in its entirety. Amen. God saw Philip Cook, amen, that old mess of a man, and he said he's going to need a savior. Amen. So he made a way that I could be saved. Amen. Me who is nobody, me who has no Jewish blood flowing through his veins, me who is absolutely not worth saving. Amen. God is not a respecter of persons. Let me tell you, we walk in church services sometimes. Amen. And we'll think, oh, I wish I had that kind of talent. I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could play an organ like Brother Todd Ladd. I wish I could play a piano like Brother Kevin Cummins. I wish I could sing like Sister Ashley Mackey. Amen. I wish I could do all of that. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you can play an instrument. It doesn't matter whether you can tap your foot or clap in or out a beat. That don't matter to God. I want to tell you today, God is no respecter of persons. It don't matter whether you're 99 or 9. Jesus has the ability to minister in your life. Scripture goes on to say this, that in the middle of Peter's preaching, amen, the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What happened? Suddenly. Suddenly happened. Suddenly there came a move of the Holy Ghost in the middle of that group of people that were hungry for the word of God. Amen. Suddenly, God, amen, knew that these people were not of Jewish descent, and yet he still provided a way, amen, by a dream to Peter and by confirmation, amen, in the middle of that place. And he said, none can deny that God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, amen, here it is. I'm laying it out. Amen, it's for you. Amen. And then and suddenly, what happened? All of a sudden, in the middle of a church service, Amen. God began to move and he began to minister. He began to heal. He began to bless. He began to operate. Let me tell everybody in this place today, whether you realize it, whether you understand it or not, amen, God can heal you while I preach the word to you. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost while I preach the word to you. God can, he can work a miracle in you, Sister Sarah. Amen. God can do it right here, right and today, if we could understand the possibilities of suddenly, if we could understand that God can move in the middle of our situation, amen, and then come to understand that God had a, he had a plan the whole time. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. This past week, I was privileged. Jaden had his 13th birthday. His dad did one of the most noble things, and I commend him for it. And he wanted him to talk to men of God in his life, and he led them to different people. And Brother Jones spoke into his life, and I appreciated that. He went and got Brother Huff, and he spoke into his life. And I wanted to do something. I'm going to pray about it. I thought, I've got to give something to him. And Josh is jealous now, but I got him my open word, or not my open word, but I got him my apostolic study Bible. And I did. He was so proud. But let me tell you this. I kept thinking, boy, he's going to like this. He's going to like this. He's going to like this. I tucked it in under my arm. He thought I was just going to preach to him. I took him to Denny's, and we had breakfast, you know. I said, boy, he's going to like this. I know he's going to like this. You know, and I had that thing. He didn't know what in the world it was. All that he knew is Papa had his Bible. And I began to talk to him about things and being a man and godly things and begin to do that. And I said, I want to do something special. And then I flipped that Bible around. I handed it to him. I flipped it open. I showed him where I presented it to him. Amen. Sister Ashley, the biggest smile on his face. Amen. But I want you to know it did me as much as good as anything, because the expectation of him receiving the gift to me, amen, was as exciting probably as him receiving the gift. Amen. And let me tell you this. I believe, amen, that there is such a joy of expectation, even in God's eyes, at the result of what his people will do at the gift. Amen. That he says, boy, I can't wait till they get it. I can't wait till they get it. I can't wait. I can't wait till they come up and lift up their hand. I can't wait till they come to the altar and realize how good I am. I can't wait till they reach out and get hold of my healing virtue. I can't wait till they reach into my life. Let me tell you something. What God has bought and purchased, what God has provided, God has already done it. Amen. But your suddenly is here today. And all you got to do is lay hold of it. Suddenly in the house of Cornelius, there came a move of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly. I mean, even though it was purchased and planned and worked out over millennia, God had it all figured out. All figured out. Amen. I believe today, amen, that we all have an appointed day. How many believe that? I believe that. I believe our day is appointed by God. Amen. I believe that when we leave this world, it doesn't surprise God. Amen. Because God is God. Amen. And why? Because God knows what's going to transpire, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He dwells in all those dimensions. Amen. The suddenly is to us. Though God had a plan, the suddenly is entirely up to us. If the apostles or the disciples becoming the apostles, if they had not gone to Jerusalem and spent 10 days in a prayer meeting, they wouldn't have received the Holy Ghost that was poured out on that day, more than likely. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. Because they were obedient to their expectation of what Christ told them, Amen. They followed God's direction, and to them it appeared unto them suddenly. Amen. God moves in our lives what appears to us as suddenly, but to God, amen, He has planned and worked out the whole event, the whole time. In Acts, the 16th chapter, the Bible said that Paul and Silas were beaten with many stripes. They were thrown into a prison in the innermost part. And then, at the powerful response to their tribulation that they were going through, now, you and I, I'm sure, wouldn't have been quite as good as theirs. Amen. As a matter of fact, we've got to work on our response to things in our life, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. Long-suffering is one of them. It's one of the most underestimated gifts, amen, or fruit of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, there's not a single individual, me at the top of the list, that doesn't need more of that. But the powerful response to their tribulation was this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let me tell you something, amen, about your walk with God. You don't need to be ashamed of Him. I want you to hear me today. We live in a free nation out there, and even if you do suffer tribulation for your belief, thank God that you are counted worthy to suffer tribulation. That's what the Bible says. And when they began to pray and sing, they didn't sing it just quiet between them two. Amen. I don't know who was in tune, off tune, out of tune. Amen. I don't know what tune they were singing. But I know this, they were singing unto the Lord. Amen. And do you know what happened at midnight? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, probably out of Psalms. And the prisoners heard them. And Scripture says this, and suddenly. Now, God knew it was going to happen, but to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everybody's bands were loosed. Let me tell you today what God wants to do in your life. Amen. He wants a sudden happening in your life today. Prayed for a young man one time that was in the hospital in Nashville. What's the big hospital in Nashville? Somebody. Vanderbilt. We was in Vanderbilt Hospital praying for a young man there. And I'll never forget, God miraculously healed him when he was supposed to possibly lose his life, but at the minimum spend months and months. The next week he walked out of that place after God moved in his life and the prayers of the saints that were gathered in that room. Amen. And they were having meetings to try to figure out what happened. And it was almost like they got mad that they didn't fix it. But the only thing they could come up with was this, and they labeled it a sudden happening. I thought, well, you ain't far off. Ain't that what one said? They aren't far from the kingdom. They wasn't far off. It was a sudden happening. Amen. But it didn't just happen by accident. It was God behind the sudden happening. Let me tell us today, God wants to move in your life today. And to you, it will seem suddenly, but I want to tell this congregation that today, God has a plan for you. You mean on Memorial Day that happened to land on this day today, Pentecost Sunday? Why not? I had a cousin one time, my wife's cousin. It's almost the same, especially in Kentucky. Y'all forget that. But I'll never forget that she received the Holy Ghost on Halloween. While the rest of the world was trick-or-treating, we had revival. And she prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. We never forgot that day ever. How in the world can you ever forget that? Well, let me tell you today, I believe with all of my heart that God has picked this date for a sudden happening in somebody's life. Amen. You mean when we're not bouncing off the walls and the preacher is not walking across the pews? That's exactly what I'm meaning, because I want to show you today that God is God all by himself. Stand with me today. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. How did it happen? In their eyes, it happened suddenly. But let me tell you something. This was years in the making, because God had a plan. I came here today to tell somebody that God wants to move suddenly on somebody's life today. As a matter of fact, this is not the message that I had planned today. But God spoke to me. At least he imposed upon me or ministered to me a direction. And he wanted me to let somebody know in this place that if you will trust him with suddenly. Today I'm going to challenge you and your faith. Do you have enough faith to believe in suddenly? I'm not talking about, you know, when we get out here, when it comes down the road years later, and I want you to know that God does move like that, and I'm not taking that away, but I truly believe that God has a suddenly in store for somebody in this place, that you're going to know on today that most assuredly God is God, and that he sits on his throne, and that he's Lord of all. Let me tell you something. God knows how to move quickly in your situation. Let me give us one more thing in closing. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, Scripture said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." What's going to happen? Suddenly. We're going to be walking along. We'll be in our cars. We'll be walking on the streets. We'll be in church service. But you know what's going to happen? Brother Walden, suddenly, we're going to be out of here. And let me tell you today, God can make that suddenly happen to you today. In your life, that area of healing, that area of deliverance, that area of filling you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to challenge you today. If you want your life changed today, if you want to see God move suddenly, I'm asking you to make your way down to the front. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.